Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called The Prayer of Dependence.
We're in this series on connecting with God, and we're looking verse by verse at the Lord's Prayer, which is the antidote to all of the seven biggest problems you face in life. Now, we started off with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's called the prayer of connection. And we talked about what kind of father is God. That a lot of your problems with God aren't really with God at all. They're problems with your father. And you tend to take what God, you think your father was like, and put it on the God. If you've missed any of the previous messages, you need to go hear those online. That God is a competent and a caring and a compassionate and a consistent father. And then last week we looked at thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the prayer of surrender. And we looked at the four ways that surrender is the solution to stress. And when things are uncontrollable in your life and people are unchangeable and pain is unexplainable, you need to do the prayer of surrender to lower the stress in your life. Now, this week, we're going to look at the prayer of dependence, which is the third phrase in the Lord's Prayer. And it's only six words. Matthew 6:11. Let's read it aloud. Give us today our daily bread. Now, bread, obviously, is the universal staple food. You can find it in every single culture. It may be one of the oldest foods known to mankind. Bread, it's not that hard to make. You just get some flour, some water, and add heat to it. And you can find bread in every kind of culture. So it's a universal staple. By the way, I read this week that 67% of kids don't like crusts. And so bakers are trying to figure out a way to make a crustless bread so moms don't have to cut the crust off. Well, okay, that might be a good invention. But I don't know if you're old enough to remember when basically all you could get was white bread. I mean, that was all. I mean, nobody heard of focaccia, rustica, pita. I mean, what's all that? I mean, you know, we had Wonder Bread. Anybody remember Wonder Bread? Now, the reason we called it Wonder Bread as a kid, I remember this, is because with an entire slice, it was so gummy, you could smash it down into a little cube about as big as a grape. You could smash the whole piece of bread into one little cube or a little, and pop it in your mouth. And actually, if you may not know this, but I know this. If you took the crust off of Wonder Bread and you smash it in, you could actually use it like silly putty and put it on the Sunday comics and you pull it up and it would have the image on it. it really would. And we thought it was Wonder Bread. Now, obviously, Jesus, when he says we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he's talking about far more than just bread. In fact, in Scripture, the Bible tells us that bread represents four things. You might write these down. Number one, it represents the necessities of life. The necessities of life. You need water to live. You need air to live. You need sunshine to live. You need nourishment to live. It's the necessities for your physical body. And the truth is, God says, I never create anything without providing what that creation needs. Even the little fishies in the ocean, God says, I provide for all of them. In fact, in the Bible, up here on the screen, Psalm 104 says this, the ocean teems with life of every kind, both great and small. You know, big whales, little minnows. Every one of these depend on you to give them daily food. You supply it and they, read it with me, gather it. Now, this is the economy of God. God says, I supply it, you gather it. When we're to pray, you know, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't mean you sit on a couch, veg out, and wait for God to just throw you money. No, you got to work. God says, I supply it, you gather it. I mean, even when they gave manna during the Exodus to the children of Israel who were leaving Egypt and going to the promised land, that manna, they still had to go out and pick it up. And work is a part of God's purpose for your life. It builds character. In fact, the Bible says this, Proverbs 14:23, hard work pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table. So bread, first of all, represents the necessities of life, what you need for physical life. But there's more than that. There's a spiritual implication. Number two, bread represents God's word. It represents God's word. The Bible is spiritual bread. It is spiritual food. Bread is a symbol for Scripture. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And when Jesus said that, he was actually quoting from Deuteronomy. Back when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt on the Exodus after 400 years of slavery to walk to Israel, God gave them the book of Deuteronomy, and one of the things he said was this, up here on the screen. He said, "God humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna." Remember, manna was the supernatural bread that God dropped from heaven for the people to pick up in the desert because they had nothing to eat. And by the way, do you know what manna means? The word manna in Hebrew literally means, "What is it?" Because when they looked at manna, they go, "What is it? I've never seen anything like it." So they ate, "What is it?" three times a day for 40 years. Now, how many ways can you fix manna? I mean, really. You know, imagine the manna cookbooks that came out. "Mom, what are we having for breakfast?" "Manna omelets." "What are we having for lunch?" "Manna stew." "What are we having for dinner?" "Manicotti." You know, it's just, you know, how many ways can you fix manna? What is it? And he said, but God gave you this bread, and he did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life, notice this, real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. So God says, you don't just need physical nourishment, you need spiritual nourishment. And just as much as you need physical food for your body, you need soul food for your soul. You need spiritual food. You need the Word of God. You need truth in your life in order to live. The third thing bread represents is it represents God's family and fellowship. It represents God's family and fellowship. Because you don't just have spiritual needs and physical needs, you have relational needs. You need people in your life. And bread represents, it's a metaphor for the church, for the family of God. God says, man shall not live by bread alone. And he also said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, I want you to have people in your life. And that's why God created a family called the church. And whether you have a physical family or not, God says, my family is going to last forever, the church. And it is to be a place of fellowship. And even the phrase breaking bread together is a synonym for fellowship. I mean, come on over, let's break some bread together. It's a synonym for fellowship. The Bible says this, the bread which we break, does it not mean that in eating it together, we participate in and share in the fellowship of the body of Christ? I love that in the Amplified translation. Circle the word fellowship. We participate in and share in the fellowship in the body of Christ, in the family of God. You know, in the Old Testament, people were to bring a fellowship offering, and part of that fellowship offering was to be a basket of bread, unleavened bread. It was a symbol of fellowship. And in the New Testament, the Bible says this about the very first believers in the first church in Jerusalem. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. By the way, what is the apostles' teaching? It's the Bible. It's the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those guys were all apostles. It was written by the apostles. And so when they say they studied the apostles' teaching, they studied the Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and breaking of bread, and to prayer. So it's a part of fellowship. In fact, the Bible tells us this about the church. They broke bread together in their homes. In other words, they fellowshipped in small groups. They had communion, they ate together, and they fellowshipped in small groups. So bread represents the necessities of life. It represents the Word of God. It represents the family of God, the church, and fellowship. for physical and spiritual and relational needs. And the fourth thing it represents is salvation, our salvation in Christ, salvation in Jesus. And Jesus chose bread to represent his sacrifice in communion. And when he gave the bread, he said this: Jesus took a piece of bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me." Now, whether it's bread and wine or juice and crackers, it's just wheat or flour and fruit of the vine. When Jesus said this, he said, "You do this to remember me." It's a symbol. It's not the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus never said that. In fact, when he said, "Do this to remember me," he hadn't even died yet. He hadn't gone to the cross. And he's saying, "I'm going to give you two symbols, two object lessons that you're never to forget. And I want you, every time you eat this bread and drink this wine or this juice," he said, "it is to remind you how much I love you and the sacrifice that I made for your life and how I paid for your ticket to heaven. And I don't want you to ever forget that. So I'm going to give you a couple symbols called bread and juice, and we'll call it the Lord's Supper or communion." He took the Passover and gave it in new meaning. Now, here's the point. Whatever your need is, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, whether it is a need in your body or a need in your mind or a need in your soul or a need in your spirit, God says, "I will take care of that need if you will depend on me. Give us this day our daily bread. All that I need, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, financially, and every other way. How do I let God meet my needs that he wants to meet? Well, I have to depend on him." The Bible says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." The Bible says, "According to your faith, it will be done unto you." The Bible says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So the way you connect to God, and that's what this series is all about, is through faith. And how do I connect to God so that my physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, and every other need will be met in my life? What does it mean to depend on God? It means three things. Number one, depending on God means seeing God as my source. That's the first step. Seeing God as my source. The source of what? Literally, the source of everything. Everything you see in the world and everything you can't see in the world and in the universe, God made. He is the source of everything. Air, light, water, atoms, everything you've got. Everything you have is from God as the source. He's the source of every good thing in the universe. Now, there are four truths you need to remember, and I want you to write these down. First, it's all a gift. It's all a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God. Nothing you have you earned. You don't earn air. You don't earn water. You don't earn life itself. You don't earn the sunlight that keeps you alive. You don't earn any of that. It's all a flat out gift. It's a gift of God's grace. If God didn't want to give it, you wouldn't have it. Even your life, you would not be taking your next breath. Every breath is a gift from God. And the Bible tells us in the book of James, every good and perfect gift is from God above. And that's why the Lord's Prayer in this third phrase starts with the word give. Give us today our daily bread. Why? Because it is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't earn it in any way. It's all a gift. Number two, write this down. There's nothing I need that God can't provide. There's nothing I need that God can't supply. He is the supplier of everything. Now, I don't know what you're going to need all this year. And by the way, neither do you. But I do know this. Whatever you need, God has the power to supply. And the Bible says this, Philippians 4:19. God will supply all that you ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. A glorious resource means as lavish as only God can lavish. God has unlimited resources. Now, what this means is if there's nothing I need that God can't provide, it means that as a child of God, as a follower of Christ, I should never, and you should never, have a scarcity mentality. What is the scarcity mentality? Scarcity mentality says, I'm afraid there isn't going to be enough. There's not enough to go around. So I'm going to panic. I'm going to worry. I'm going to get anxious. I'm going to be afraid. There's more than enough to go around, friends. There's plenty in the world for everybody. There's enough for all the need in the world. There's not enough for all the greed in the world. And the reason why some don't have enough is not because it isn't available. It's because it's not shared. It's not divided up. It's not equalized. And some people have a whole lot and some people have nothing. And that's a matter of being able to be generous, being willing to share voluntarily, not forced, but voluntarily out of love. There's plenty for everybody. It just needs to be shared. And so the Bible says it's all a gift from God. There's nothing I need that God can't supply. Number three, God wants to give it. You need to know that. And you need to know it for sure, that no matter what you need in your life, God wants to give it to you. Matthew 7, verse 11 says this. If you were asked by your son for bread, would you give him a stone? The answer obviously is, of course not. How much more likely is it that your heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask him? If my kids come to me and say, Daddy, I'm hungry, what am I going to do? Give them a piece of rubber to chew on? No, I'm going to get them some food. If they're genuinely hungry, I'm going to help them out. And if I know how to do this and I'm imperfect, certainly God, who is perfect in his love toward you, wants to meet all your needs. He says God is waiting. He wants to meet your need. And that's the fourth thing. He's waiting on me. He's waiting on me. If you have needs in your life that are not being met, it's not God's fault. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Look at this next verse. Let's read it aloud together. You do not have because you do not ask God. The problem is not that God doesn't want to meet your need. The problem is you never ask him for it. God says you don't have because you don't ask. Over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask me. As a father, I love you and I'm waiting for you to ask. And I want you to ask. And he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. That spells ask. He's just saying it three different ways. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He said, ask that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Over and over, we're told to ask. God says, I want you to look to me as the source for all your needs in life. That's the way I designed it. So here's my very blunt question. Who's your source? You know, law enforcement, if they're picking up some money launderers or some drug addicts, they don't care about the small fries, the user, the end user. They want to know who's your source. Who's your supplier? They want to get to the source. And my question to you is, for your safety, for your security, for your financial stability, who's your source? Washington? I hope not. I hope you're not looking to Washington to be your source of stability. Wall Street? Again, I hope not. Your job? You're looking to your job to be your source of security? Friend, I hate to tell you this, you could lose your job this next year. You need to look to God as your source. Now, who are you looking to meet your needs? No man will ever be able to meet all your needs. No woman will ever be able to meet all your needs. So many people go into marriage saying, oh, I found the perfect person. They're going to meet all my needs. You get married, then you find out they got bigger needs than you do. And you're going to be severely disappointed anytime you look to anybody else. Your parents can't meet all your needs. Your spouse can't meet all your needs. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend can't meet all your needs. In fact, you're setting yourself up for profound disappointment. Only God can meet all your needs. And you need to look to him as the source of your supply. You don't look to your IRA. You don't look to your 401k. You certainly don't look to Social Security for security. You look to God for your security. And if one door closes, God can open another door. And if the faucet turns off here, God can turn on a faucet over here. And if during this next year you lose your job and 15 doors close, God can open a window. You look to Him as your source. That's what it means to depend on God. I see Him as my source. Number two. Second thing it means to depend on God is it means trusting Him for today. For today. Not for next week, not for next year, not for next month, just one day at a time. God says, I want to make this real simple. I want you to take life in bite-sized pieces, 24-hour increments. I want you to trust me just for today. Notice, the Bible does not say, give us this day our monthly bread. It doesn't say, give us this day our annual bread. It doesn't even say like a paycheck, give us this day our weekly bread. And it's interesting that since the 50s, bread has been a synonym for money. You got any dough? You got any money? You got any bread? Okay. So bread and dough, give us this day our daily dough, you know? It's to be daily, not monthly, annually, weekly. God says, I want you to trust me one day at a time. I'm not asking you to trust me for the rest of your life, just one 24-hour increment. We'll worry about tomorrow, and we'll worry about next week, and we'll worry about next month. I don't want you worrying about that. In fact, I don't want you worrying at all. I want you to take it one day at a time. Now, how do you do that? How do you trust God just for today? Give us today our daily bread. How do you do that? Well, there are four things that you do to trust God on a daily basis. And it just so happens that those four things are all covered in one scripture. It's Philippians 4, 6 and 8. It's on the back of your outline. It's a very important verse, so I want us to read it aloud together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thanking Him for all He has done, and fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Now, in this passage, he gives us the four steps to trusting God for today. And here they are. The first thing, you might write this down, he says, worry about nothing. That's the first step. Worry about nothing. He said, I don't want you worrying about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now, let me be very frank with you, very blunt. Friends, this is the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. It's the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. You know, there's some commands in the Bible I just don't find that hard, you know, to obey. When the Bible says, don't murder, that's not a big deal to me. You know, I don't find that very difficult to obey. Okay, don't murder. It's just not that hard. When the Bible says, don't commit adultery, I don't find that particularly hard. I mean, when you're married to Kay Warren, poof, you know. But this one, yeah, don't worry. You break this one 6 or 8 times a day, okay? You get all worried about it. Now, why is worry such a big deal? And why does God say, I don't want you worrying? You may have never realized this. Worry is not just a bad habit. It's a flat-out sin. Worry is a sin. Why? Because it is an insult to God. Every time you worry, you're saying, God, I don't believe your promises. God, I don't really believe you love me. God, I don't believe you'll take care of me. God, I don't believe you'll meet all my needs. Father, I don't believe you're going to take care of me and do all the things you've promised to do. It is an insult to God. If my kids, when they were small, came to me and said, Dad, we're worried about the house. You guys don't have to worry about it. I'm going to pay for the house. Dad, we don't think you can do that. And Dad, we're worried about whether we're going to have a meal tonight. Don't worry about it. I got to take care. Dad, we don't think you're competent to take care of that. That would be an insult to me. If my kids worried that I couldn't take care of them, I would be insulted. And God is insulted when you worry. It's saying, God, I don't really believe you. When you worry, you are acting like an orphan. You're acting like you don't have a spiritual father in heaven who cares, who said, I will give you whatever you need if you'll trust me and you'll ask, if you'll depend on me. You're acting like a spiritual orphan. Do you know what worry is? Worry is the practical expression of atheism. You're acting like an atheist every time you worry. I don't believe God will keep his promises. I don't believe that God will take care of me. I believe I have to figure this out myself. You're acting like an atheist, and God is offended. And so he says, don't worry about anything. In fact, look at this verse. The Bible says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I like to share letters from people like you who are listening to Daily Hope. Let me read one from a guy named Lee who lives in Chicago. Dear Pastor Rick, I was introduced to Daily Hope this year, and what a blessing it's been to my life. I've listened almost every day since. You've helped me in ways that I've never been helped before. I'm divorced. I've made many mistakes in my life, yet I always have had some sort of connection with God, even though I never really truly walked the line as a true disciple. But I want to thank you for taking the time that it takes to produce Daily Hope. I'm somebody that, regardless of the distance, you're helping in far more ways than I can explain in a simple email. I'm now attending a local church. That's great. And I met a wonderful Christian woman, that's great, that God has put in my life, and I'm gaining ground on a much brighter and more powerful relationship with God. I had to share this with you and thank you for all you're doing and how you're impacting my life in positive ways as you do for so many others through Daily Hope. Thanks, Lee. Well, thank you, Lee, for writing. I want you to know your note made my day. Means a lot to me to know that these broadcasts are helping normal people out there just like you and like me. And I'm really glad you found a local church where you can meet with other believers and find support and encouragement in your walk with Christ. Daily Hope is never meant to be a replacement for a church family. Nothing can replace a church family. But one of the most powerful things you can do is to share your story with others. And you can actually share it with me if you'll write me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com with two R's in the middle. I would love to hear from you. And we'll share some of these testimonies on the air from time to time so that other people can be encouraged too. Thanks again for listening today. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.